Let's start off with prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you. We worship you. We thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to come and share and just share what you're sharing with me. And we thank you for your presence. And we thank you. We come expecting to hear from you, yes. Not from a person. We just come to hear from you and your heart. And so we thank you and we praise you that you are love and that you do come to us and you want to speak to us and just share your life with us. And we love you and we praise you. We just ask you to bless this day, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So my name is Jeff, and you know, like Pastor said, he calls me a pastor, which I think, and I you know, I look up to Jim. I'm going to share a little bit of my story, my testimony today, and just a little bit of what God was sharing with me this week to kind of share with you guys. But I was saved at A&M. I went to A&M in 1993. Was, you know, met some guys. Was walking home from a party one night and. These guys shared Jesus with me in a way that I'd never heard before, just about his love and his grace. And it impacted me, and I've never been the same. So I'm going to just kind of share a little bit throughout kind of what God was, I felt like was telling me to share today. You know, I have a lot of stuff I could share. I see Dan Stevenson here, who was a big impact in my life, and we hadn't seen each other in a long time, so it's good to see you, Dan. But I was this week I was reading through some old journals, and as I was reading this week, I was kind of felt like this is what I want to share about. So I was seeing, I mean, stuff from years ago, 90s and early 2000s, and I saw kind of a theme throughout these journal entries, and just something that I wanted to put some order to and some organization on. So that's kind of what I've done. So you guys are kind of guinea pigs today a little bit on this stuff that I want to share, because it's something that I feel like, I don't know necessarily if it's for me, for my store. I'm at Walmart. I work at Walmart. And I've been there about 8 years, and last place I would have ever thought I would have ever worked at. And I have seen God's hand in that place and in my life, in a major way. So I'm going to share a little bit of that today too, but through these journal entries that I was kind of reading through this week, the story that I really was reflecting on was Joseph in the Bible, because, you know, Joseph's in Egypt. He was sent to Egypt. And how was he in Egypt? You know, so I was really encouraged this week. I want my life to be able to impact and change, you know, like his did. So if he's, you know, what a believer looks like in Egypt, you know, it helped me kind of put some order to my journals and see, okay, what are some fundamental things that I see in Joseph that I want, or that I even see that God has worked with me on and challenged me or grown me through, or things that he's still working on me. And so, anyways, that's kind of what I want to share today a little bit. You know, I called Jim last night to tell him, you know, you had passed on to Danny, hey, Danny, or one of the guys, if I could share today. And so I called Jim last night and said, hey, Jim, I got the word. I'm coming today, just to kind of communicate. But it's funny. You know, I always think of Walmart stories, you know, because that's just where I'm at all the time, right? And I go into my store and I walk in from the parking lot and I've got, you know, notes just in the parking lot. And I give this note to this guy a few weeks ago to paint. You know, we got these yellow poles out in the parking lot, and they're scratched up. So I gave a note to the assistant managers, hey, have them. We need to refresh the yellow poles in the parking lot. And a few hours go by, and about to go to lunch, I'm walking the store kind of following up on my notes, and I see a guy in my store just painting this beautiful gray pole that I've got in my store. He's painting it yellow. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Tori, what are you doing, man? He's like, I'm painting the poles, sir. And I was like, no. The pole's outside. The yellow pole is outside. So we had to redo. But, you know, I was thinking last night, just the communication piece, it reminded me of that, you know, where you tell one guy something, and by the time it comes around, it's nothing like what it was supposed to be. So I kind of thought about that. I may end up at some church over, you know, where I get the communication. I'm supposed to be at some church somewhere else. So I'm glad to be here. We got the communication came through. But, you know, I wanted to kind of share today a little bit of my story, just because I feel like if I could share my story and communicate what God speaks to me, you know, because he speaks to us, but it just doesn't quite come out the right way, you know? So if I could share my story, I feel like people can relate a little bit. You know, a lot of you guys probably work, you know? Hi, Margaret. So I know a lot of you guys work kind of out in the world, so you can relate maybe to some of these stories and stuff like that. But, you know, so these reading through these journal entries this week, I realized there's kind of some fundamental things that I could kind of build on, or things that I could kind of see themes in my life. And so I, like I said, reflected back on Joseph and was reading through there, and I was seeing him in his life, you know, and I see what God's working with me on and challenging me on. So I wrote these seven things down. So I'm going to go through these, and each one of these things we could talk probably for months. You know, Jim will take a topic and go for weeks on this one topic. So I'm going to list, these are broad things. So if you have a pen, you might want to write them down or put them on your phone or whatever, but, kind of some basic fundamental things. So, you know, one of the points too that I wanted to really share, just the theme is, you know, there's not some great perfect job out there. You know, there's not some great perfect life out there. You know, it's an illusion. So the message really that I saw in my life, and I don't know about you guys, but man, just wherever you're at, if, you know, the first thing put down there is draw nigh to God. Amen. Wherever you're at, bloom. Wherever you're at, it's okay. If God's with you, you're good. Okay, so the first thing kind of I wrote down is draw nigh to God. And it's James 4:8 and says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I wrote down Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And going back to Joseph in Genesis 39, just a sentence that stuck out to me this week, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. You know, so the real message or the takeaway with that is just wherever you're at, if God's with you, you're good. You read the stories about, you know, like Corrie Ten Boom, you know, in a concentration camp and gets up and straightens the straw on her little bed that she was laying on, you know, just almost in like recognition that my God is awesome. I heard a story from a guy, I don't know if you guys know who Andrew Peterson is. He's a singer-songwriter, awesome guy, that just a real neat guy, and I've got a chance to kind of be in some small group like situations. We homeschool, so he's at these homeschool book fairs and stuff, and I was at a deal last night and just had an awesome time just hearing his stories and his songs. And his songs, he's that singer-songwriter like a Rich Mullins or somebody that just can just poetically say and write a song that's just powerful, right? And he's a pastor, but he's really a musician, is really his gift. But he was sharing a story about a guy, a friend of his, who, a lady that had a child. And right after the baby was born, the mom died. And this was one of his real good friends. And the guy was there, you know, just a few hours after, Andrew was there, and the guy was talking about how good God is. He said, God is good, God is good, God is always good, was his message, you know, right after this thing. And it was, he said it was, you know, it was the Holy Spirit that really took over and was giving this guy encouragement during this. But it really spoke to me. And, you know, to be able to share and say and know that God is good in the midst of that kind of stuff is, you got to be close to God, right? So the first thing, kind of the first takeaway, you know, with Joseph was, and the Lord was with Joseph. So the first thing, draw nigh to God. Second thing is, be faithful in small things. Luke 16:10-11 says, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And I've got, boy, a lot of stories about that. But in Genesis 39:4-5, we're going to be kind of in Genesis quite a bit. You might just want to write maybe the verses down or something. But Genesis 39:4-5, it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. It's talking about Potiphar. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You know, being faithful in small things. I've got this thing. I do all the interviews at my store. I've got the store I was at had like 500 people. It was a really big store. And this store, I'm at a new store now, and it's a lot smaller store, but still about 300 people. And everybody that comes in that store, I interview. And I kind of started this a couple of years ago where I interview every single person that comes in the store. And one of the things I say to them, I say, it takes three things to make it at this company and with me. So you got to show up for work. Because these are just three fundamental things that I've noticed. If you do these three things with my company, you can go as far as you want to. As far as you can visualize yourself going, okay? But you have to show up for work, number one. You have to be in dress code, and you have to have a good attitude. So those three things, you know, and so I'll have guys that come up to me all the time. They're like, sir, I'm ready to go to the next level. I want to be a department manager or whatever it is they want to do. And he's in the wrong color pants. And I've had this conversation. I'm like, man, you can't put the right color pants on. You know, and I'll challenge him, and the next day he'll be dressed out just right, you know, and then he's got it, right? So I can't trust somebody with all this equipment, replenishment, all the stuff that I do, safety, compliance, all this stuff, if they can't do the small little things. So this just a common theme that I've seen. You know, it's funny, Danny and I were talking last week. At the Fort Worth church, I do the kids class. I have a young son that's 6 years old, and so I do the little kids class, and I love it. Like, it's for me, it's not like I'm being faithful. No, this is like, I love it. You know, I was a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm walking to the back, and I'd been chewing on some stuff, and I knew that I wanted to do this verse in Proverbs 18, and I go into my class, and Liam and three or four of the kids are there, and there's another classroom right over, and they were like, hey, Jeff, there's no teacher here. You want to take those guys? I was like, yeah. So come on, guys. So we go to the other classroom. We go in there, and Proverbs 18:10, the verse that I was going to cover is right there on the board, right? And it's on this side. I'm like, hey, guys, come here. This is the exact verse we're doing today. And they're like, you know, they get excited, and God was right. I cannot tell you every single Sunday that I am with these kids. Last week, I'm going back, and I'm like, I want to do Matthew. I'm doing these fundamental verses with these guys right now. Like I did John 3:16. Like, I've never heard Jim talk about John 3:16, really. I mean, where you teach on that verse, it's like these fundamental verses, right? So I go back, and I'm going to do Matthew 7:12, where it's do unto others as you do unto yourself, right? So last week, I go back there, and I'm going to Matthew 7:12, and I go through these verses. Dave B. taught that week on the same exact chapter, Matthew 7. And so, and that whole week, my little guy, Liam, that was the theme in that week, you know, was Matthew 7. So it was, you know, it was funny because I've got a 13-year-old too. And Liam had cut up something of Eli's, the 13-year-old's cut up something of his. And we're like, Liam, what are you doing? You know, and then we brought that in. Remember, we talked about this, Matthew, you know, do unto others as you want to do. I said, hey, guys, let's go get Liam's blanket. Liam's got this bear blanket. And hey, let's go get Liam's blanket. And hey, honey, get the scissors. We're going to cut the blanket up. And Liam's like, you know, and so, no, Liam, remember, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So we implemented just throughout the week. It keeps coming up. So my only point is just that I love that class. There could be one kid, two kids. Sometimes it's Titus and Liam, and I get something. I'm blessed by it. And it's just like today. I didn't know if it was going to be me, Jim. I don't know who's at this church, if it's huge or little, one, or I don't care. It doesn't really matter to me. It's if God's there, and this is what, you know, that's the only thing. It's just if God's there, and he's in it, and you can hear him and be with him, and he's with you. There's nothing else. That's it. So, if you're following along on my little notes here, draw nigh to God, be faithful in small things. The third thing was people matter. And in Genesis 40, going back to Joseph, said, and Joseph came in unto them, and it's talking about the butler and the baker, in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look you so sadly today? And it's funny, guys. Literally, when I was getting this word about, you know, reading through my journals and seeing how to, you know, I was seeing these themes through my journals through the years this week. Looking back, it's more like I was looking to see, is were there themes in Joseph's life that were similar? Is there things and foundations that I can build on in Joseph's life to where you know, I can be like Joseph. You know, I want to be what God has me to be wherever I'm at. And so, you know, and that's what I was saying. I look back and I'm seeing it all through his life that God works with us when we're in Egypt. He'll be right there with us. And so that's the message, is that we don't have to be, you know, honestly, I honestly believe I'm more powerful in Walmart than I am maybe as a pastor or in the church. I don't know. But that's where I'm at right now. So this is where God's working with me and dealing with me. And but I've noticed, you know, I titled this one People Matter, just because I know God is, he's passionate about people. And there's a lot to be said about that. We could talk a lot about that. But God has, you know, just throughout my life and just through my testimony, God has given me my friends and given me my church and my pastor. And I literally mean, when I became a believer, I didn't go to church for 2 years. I just literally read the Bible. Would just devour this thing. And I didn't even ever know if there was a church that believed like this. So I was like, I'm not going to church. God, if you're real, you can reveal yourself to me through this word. And eventually, a couple years down the road, Hebrews, God spoke to me and said, forsake not the gathering together. And I knew, as he was saying this, I knew I needed a pastor. I needed somebody in my life that could speak to me, that knew this word, that read it and got it the same way that I read it and that I got it. That's the truth. I don't want anything that's out there that's just normal stuff that I had seen throughout the years. And I met these crazy guys that used to teach at Biblical Arts Center, Robert McWeary and Jim Borchert. And I knew when I went, I actually, backing up a little bit, I met a brother, Tim Stevenson, when I was at A&M. I was in the Corps. And long story short, introduced me to Robert. And we would drive down from College Station, or drive up from College Station, you know, on a Thursday night, I think, was when the meetings were. And I was like, man, this is it. This is what, you know, we'd drive back that night, you know, and we'd drive up the next Thursday, you know, and then they got tapes. So we're bringing tapes back and we'd hand them out at the dorm. We had Bible studies, and I'm in the Corps, right? And I was in E2 and at A&M, who keeps the Reveille, the dog. So there was a lot of, you know, we had a lot of activity around our dorm. So we would always have, you know, I was a squad leader, then kind of went through that whole thing. So I would have, my squad meetings were a little bit different. So, you know, we called, when I was a sophomore, there was a name for them. I won't say it on here, but they're the bad guys. Okay, they're the guys training the freshmen. And so I could make them do whatever I want them to do. So if we're going to have a Bible study, we're having a Bible study today. So we did it a little bit different in my squad, but they hated me to a certain... In fact, actually, Dave Cooper was one of my fish, one of my freshmen. He goes to our church. So somehow some of these guys made it through. So people matter. You know, I think I started to share this story, but I was in Virginia with my wife and boys this past summer, and I got a call from my boss, and he said, Jeff, I need you at this store right when you get back in town. So I'm like, okay, yes, sir. So we get back in town, and next day I go up to the store. It's up here in Dallas, and 95% of the store is Muslim, and like from Iraq and Iran, and there's probably, I don't know, 250 people at this store. And it had a lot of problems, and the other guy got let go, and I'm like, okay. So, you know, I've shared this story before with some of the guys in Fort Worth, but, you know, one of the things as a manager, Walmart manager, when you get to the store, you have to drive the building, you know, kind of drive to see if there's something going on with the building. And years ago, I had this revelation driving the building. You know, I was in a really, really oppressive situation and manager, and I was driving the building. I thought of Jericho, you know, and how... You know, I didn't want the walls to fall down in the store, but I was ready for the walls to fall down on that guy, okay? And so there was a lot that needed to happen in that store, and it did. That's just been my testimony with this company just throughout the years, that God, there's different seasons. So there's good seasons and bad seasons, okay? But when I drive the building, it is a time, you know, I remember that. That was memorable for me. So I actually like driving the building. Because it's the first part of my day. It's right when I get there, and it's like, God is in control of my life, not me, which is good. You know, I was sharing with a couple that there's a husband and wife. They're actually refugees from Iran, and they're Christians. And the wife's trying to promote. And so I've been, and both of them kind of were, but he was real reserved. He's praying. He's not a pastor. He's kind of like a pastor, I think. He has a church or some a house church, I think. So he's real reserved. He doesn't want to go to the next level, be an assistant manager or whatever. Well, she does. She's like, you know, we're going. And I was just sharing with him because I was like, honestly, guys, I'm like that. I'm most of the time in front of God. You know, and I'm like, this is where we're going, you know. And so, and a lot of times I miss him. And he's, you know, because I'm in front of him. I know where I'm going, right? So, you know, he doesn't like that. So he's had to deal with me on that. And it's, I hear God a different way than a lot of nice people do. A lot of times it's like, go. Like, you better go, okay? Like, if he says to do this, I don't hear it nice sometimes. It's like, you better go, you know? So it's, you know, anyways. Okay, so people matter. That was the third thing. You know, I was thinking about the, I don't know if y'all have seen Braveheart. Have you guys seen Braveheart? You know, I'm talking about these people that are in our lives that, you know, God puts us with, you know, that they're just, they're crazy, or you're crazy, right? You're as crazy as they are, right? But I think about Braveheart, the Irishman that came to William Wallace's side, and William Wallace is kind of like, I don't know, man. He doesn't know if he's there to kill him or there to help him. And the guy saves his life a couple of times. Well, I've got some of those crazy people at some of my stores where they're from the Lord, but you're like, I don't know, you know. And I'm probably that crazy person to other people. So, anyways, people matter. So, number four thing was, and this one's, this is buried at number four, but man, if we can get a hold of this, okay? Don't be afraid. And I wrote down a failure or of rebuke. Be teachable. So I'm going to read. I want to read this. This was last week. I was reading through. Let's see where it is. It's in Timothy. I don't know how long you guys go at this.
You got 2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay, perfect. Okay, only got four more points. Okay, 2 Timothy, yep, 3:8. Okay, listen to this. Or actually, it's chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I read that this past week, and it hit me. I was convicted. And, you know, the thing I wanted, being on this side of this, I'm going to share another verse here in Titus, because I just kept kind of reading through, and I was had to get past that. I don't want to stay there. So, I'm reading through, and it's in Titus, which is right after 2 Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. Titus 3:3. Okay, listen. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." That was actually good news to me. That was good news, because it's like going to the principal's office, but you're with some people that are in trouble with you. Okay, I was a bad kid growing up, so it's like you don't want to be in the principal's office by yourself. You know, Margaret, you probably got these kids. I was that kid. Okay, sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's better when you got a group, two or three of you guys together. But if you're by yourself, it's kind of scary. Okay, but I wanted to share that because You know, I think shame is something that I was reading back. You know, fear and shame somehow are probably tied closely. You know, back in 2001, it's probably back in those Monday night days, Jack and guys, where, man, you'd walk out of Jim's Bible study sometimes. This is the men, right? You're like, I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even a Christian. Lord Jesus, what's that, the prayer, you know? You just go back to the fundamentals, the basics, right? It was good, okay? I had a night of utter terror, okay? I don't know if it was after Monday night, but that night I was up all night. It literally, my bedroom, this was when we lived in Grand Prairie, there was a side yard right there. I swear there was lightning bolts up and down the side of my room all night long. And I'm not even kidding, all around my house. Terror, turmoil in me, like, and I'm already a Christian, okay? I'm a Christian, I think, you know, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, one word I got that night. I'm not one that calls Jim with stuff a lot, but I called that night. I was like, Jim, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, but the only word that I got that night through that whole night, because I was up praying, and Lord, where are you? You know, what is this? And was, the truth will set you free. That is the only, and I mean, it didn't help, to be honest with you, but I knew that's what I got to hold on to. I was more like drowning, holding on to what God was sending, saying, here is the only truth that you can hang on to. The truth will set you free. And I knew Jesus is the only thing that can change that or make that into something. And I believe the Lord has used that, at least in my work or in my life, way more powerful. Like, that was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, is that turmoil and that angst and that. And I don't even know if it was legalism or if it was terror from, you know, it's fear and it's not knowing perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. So knowing that perfect love and meditating on Jesus and his love for us. So it's funny, I told you I went to Andrew Peterson last night and was listening to him, and he was telling a story about how he's self-loathsome. And, you know, a friend of his, he was telling his friend, this good friend of his, hey man, you know, I've got this thing, I'm self-loathsome. And he was like, well, Andrew, self-loathsome is really just another version of self-worship. And he was like, well, I didn't want to be his friend anymore. So it was funny. He was just sharing how, you know, people tell us a hard word, or even God convicts us or, you know, speaks to us, but we defend ourselves, or we don't want to be that person's friend anymore. You know, it was hilarious. It was so funny. But, I think being vulnerable and open to God teaching us and, you know, not running from that, not shying away from that, but knowing his perfect love and how much that he is an awesome dad that will chastise us. We actually want that and need that. And so, not to shy away from that. So my fourth point that I really was seeing this week was don't be afraid. And oh man, I tell you what, guys, if we could be completely free of fear, you know, and it's not, you can't drive out darkness, but you can turn the light on. You know, it's like perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah.
The light, the perfect light casts out fear.
Yeah.
It's more like turning a light on than it is getting rid of sins or getting rid of fear. Not going to do it. I wrote down Isaiah 41:10. Let's see. Okay. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Pastor Dave, a couple weeks ago, was sharing in Psalms. Dave, you remember where you were?
119.
Yeah, always 119.
Yeah.
Jana had a testimony last week of Psalm 119. I was like, of course, it's a Halverson. It's Psalm 119. But I really got something out of something that Pastor Dave was sharing. I wanted to pass it on because it really spoke to me. Let's see, where was it? Okay. Actually, it stopped right before, but I kept reading a little bit. And just a little bit of backstory. I have twins that are 19, and they go to a school up in Virginia. And one of them, it's funny, one got like a, they're freshmen, so one got a 3.8 last year, one got a 3.0, and they're real competitive, so it's kind of a funny deal. But the one that got the 3.0 was in a class. He got like tanked a test, one of his amazing calculus. He's taking harder classes, but the teacher had this crazy bell-shaped curve. So he ends up doing okay on the class, but he's like tanking these tests. But because everybody's tanking it, they got to bump the grades up, right? And so I was talking to one of the other, Paul McLemore, actually, a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, man, that doesn't seem like a good teacher to me. They're not getting it. They're all failing, you know, but then they bump the grade up, so either the teacher doesn't look like a doofus or something, right? So, you know, I'm thinking about teachers and what is a good teacher,
yeah.
Right? To me, a good teacher is someone that the students all learn it. If they all got hundreds, it'd be awesome. You know, and if they don't, it's because they failed themselves, right? The teacher's got to teach them and sow into them and get them there, right? So I was reading just a little bit further past where Pastor Dave was reading here, and it's Psalm 119:33, and it says, listen to this. Okay, this is powerful. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. I love this, because think about it. Look at all the times in the Psalms where it's like, we're going to do this, or I'm going to keep it to the end, right? You are, if God's your teacher, and he's going to get us there, is it us that's doing it? No. He's doing it in us. You know, if there's anything we learn, I know Dallas Church gets it as much as we get it here, but apart from him, you can do nothing. So he's in us, to willing to do of his good pleasure. We die daily. No more Jeff. Please. My wife. No more Jeff. Please, we want Jesus. So, you know, I don't know how this ties into don't be afraid, but be teachable. That's what it was. Be teachable. And if we have God as our teacher, we're good. We're going to make it.
Right.
Because he is an awesome teacher. We have the creator of the universe that's our teacher. We're good. Mm-hmm. Okay, it does give you, it's like, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. He can work with the worst students. Okay, the fifth thing was rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So I wrote down here, learn to enjoy the journey. This guy that I went to listen to, Andrew Peterson, I keep referring, I got a lot of stuff out of that last night. But he wrote a song to his wife about they got married young, like 19, 20. And some of the lyrics in there is, he says, dancing in the minefields and sailing in the storm is the lyrics, like the chorus actually through this song, you know? And I thought, man, that is good. Dancing through the minefields and sailing through the storms. That's accurate of marriage and life, right? And Jesus is asleep on the boat, you know? And it's just rocking around, and you're just like, man, Jesus. And then the next one was rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I share this probably every time I get an opportunity to share, but there was a book that actually Pastor Jim referred. Write this one down if you haven't read this book, but it's called Power and Praise. And it's by a guy named Merlin Carruthers. Book probably had the biggest impact on me. It's scriptures and it's testimonies about rejoicing in everything. Margaret, did you have to read this book? No? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a good one. Power and Praise. It's stories, testimonies of... Yeah, of rejoicing in everything, literally. You know, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Great verse, write it on the fridge, it's on the deal, I'm going to rejoice in it. Man, literally, everything. Thanking God for everything. Imagine that. I literally took probably 30 days, 60, okay, like 20 years, okay. Reality is just meditating on this. Thanking God. If he is that good, we thank him for everything. Everything. And the scary part about it is the things that stink the most are really the things that are the best. You know, the angst and the turmoil and the troubles and the trials and the... Thank you, Jesus. So So rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the last thing was persistence. Never give up. And the best is yet to come. So I wrote down Romans 8:35. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, this was good because we started, the first one was draw nigh to God, so relationship. As I was kind of chewing on this week and, kind of meditating on these fundamentals that I was kind of seeing that, I really want in my life and stuff that I know that God has been working on, just kind of reading through these. Hey, Lynn, reading through these journal entries. What was I going to say? I don't remember. So Romans 8:35. Okay, it says, that's what I was going to say, relationship. We started with relationship. So we're going to end, the last one was relationship. Okay, so Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something that's been a theme for a few weeks for me, and I don't know if it's because of the environment that I work in or what, but man, I just feel like there are so many people ready, so close to like receiving Jesus. I don't know the best way to say this, but it was, when you're a kid and you play that game where it's you're hot or cold. You're cold. Nope, cold. Yep, warm. What? Warm? Okay, you're burning. You're getting closer, closer. I've been seeing that. I've got family members that, I just feel like are so close to, they're seeking. These are seekers that I'm kind of really talking about. There's this one lady she's a humanist. I don't want to say her name, but I've kind of been watching her because I've got a family member that like loves this lady stuff. But this lady's become a believer. She is like the researcher of all researchers in like psychology. And she studied shame actually for years in like TED Talks and all this stuff. She goes to church now because she knows there is no hope in any of that stuff. And so she knows now Jesus is the only thing. Yeah. So she's back in church and she's powerful. Amen. I didn't want to really share it because I don't know the full, I don't think it's a full baked testimony yet, but man, super powerful. She was saying in church what she found was this lady, this researcher lady. She used this analogy. She said, when I went to church, what I found was it wasn't an epidural, it was a midwife. And I was like, what? And we had home births, so I get it. The midwives are, man, they're powerful. They're like the Holy Spirit. They're there to comfort and, They're the real deal. And so what I was getting was it's not, in this world you're going to have troubles.
Yeah.
But be of good cheer, for I've overcome them. And this lady's getting this. And so this family member, my wife had a real powerful dream. My wife's very honest, just very real. And she just says it like it is. She doesn't fake anything. She just says it like it is, okay? And so she has a dream, and she's like, this was from God. And it was about this family member, and we've stood on that and just pray for this particular family member. And I believe that she, the dream was that she was going to be a powerful, radiant Christian. And, man, I think she's right there. So it's good. God is awesome. The message today started with relationship. It ends with relationship. It's a relationship sandwich. Okay. So we eat that. That's the, I guess the crux of everything, you know, is just a relationship with God. And, you know, I love the way he deals with me. And, because I'm not easy. So he needs to, you know, he deals with me different than he deals with you and different with everybody's. He's personable. He's, you know, he has some rough matter to deal with. So anyways, he's good. Thank you for letting me share. So I don't, you know, I was sharing a little bit of my testimony. You know, I became a Christian in 93 and, you know, been like structured my whole life, moved to Dallas, Fort Worth to sit and listen and, be discipled by Jim, who's faithfully, lovingly, you know, worked with me and not left me for years, you know. And so I'm blessed. I'm thankful for teachers and friends, you know. And one of our seven things we talked about today was the crazy people in your life. I may be that crazy church member, or, you know, we have them. We have some. Look around, okay? But we don't despise, because God gave them.
Yeah.
To us and us to them. You know, Tim Stevenson, one of my best friends, was from God. God gave me this friend. And Dan, and you know, we have these relationships because God gave us each other. And a lot of you guys, I don't know your name, but I recognize you. And I know we've Bible studies and stuff just in passing from Dallas and Fort Worth. So it's good to be here and see you guys. Alex, I've known you for probably 20 years or something from just, you know, Monday nights and Bible studies and stuff. So it's good to see, you know, there's one church, and not even just, you know, Emmanuel, but there's one church in the Bible. And that thought has always kind of been with me. You know, even I've visited other churches in Fort Worth, and I know you guys in Dallas and stuff. And, you know, that thought's interesting to me, that there's one body of Christ. And whether it's Prestonwood Baptist, or, you know, I was at a church, you know, my parents go to church in like Highland Park area, and, you know, they're believers, you know, and it's good. There's different members of the body. So it's good to get, you know, a different diet, I guess, or so to speak. It's good to get different perspectives to learn about God. He speaks to us in so many different ways and through so many different people, and we're all crazy. So it's fun. He's interesting. God's creative. You know, Andrew Peterson last night, who's awesome musician, singer, songwriter, said something last night that really blessed me. You know, he was just talking about how creative God is and that how creative we are as people. And there's a term now where creative is used as a noun. And he was just talking about how he didn't like that. You know, like there's the creative people, you know, that are, there's a show for the creatives. Okay, but the reality is, you know, my wife, you know, we just moved into a house, and she's, you know, the couch and the right thing here and the pictures on the wall. And she's not an artist, but man, the beauty of just creating, you know, of creating stuff.
Amen.
And just the way she sets up even, you know, a meal, or, you know, there's so much creativity in God and so much that, you know, we can do that's creative, that's not necessarily art or music. You know, I think we put art and music in that creative category, but God is a creator, and he's given that to us to be creators too. And it really spoke to me. So I don't know why I'm sharing it, but it's something, you know, there's, I think you're a graphic designer, right? You know what I mean? So you're a creative, you're a noun, right? That's kind of these creative types, but it's fun to see that all of us have that characteristic of God to create. You know, even listening, this message, I'll probably try to listen to it. It's online. I'll probably go back and listen to my message to see, what did I share, you know, and oh, that was stupid, or that was good. But there's some creativity that comes from whatever we do. We're living life, we're sharing, and there's a creativity that's from the Lord that's good, you know. And that's where that fear, that number four thing on that list, I feel like fear and shame somehow as believers, you know, even now there's people, I think a lot of times they want to testify or share, but their hands are sweaty, they're nervous, they don't, you know, because of fear, you know, if we could overcome. And I always just tell people, just share anyways, through the nervousness and through the sweaty, just share, because that's probably the Lord kind of prompting you. You know, even if you don't know condemnation, just share with somebody else, you know, and at your office or whatever, your wife or your husband or whatever. But that word about creativity was just really, I thought that was a powerful message, is just that we're creative like God. You know, he's super creative. So I don't know what how y'all close here, but we can close in prayer. And I'm assuming Jim runs off to Fort Worth. I don't know. But thanks for letting me share. And Jim, thanks for asking me.
Thank you.
So whenever you share, you know, in church, I'm nervous because I talk in front of hundreds of people every day in my meetings and with my stores. But you want it with, especially with a group like Emmanuel, and you want it to be the word of the Lord. You don't want to hear Jeff, you know. You want to hear God. And so that's why I pray, Lord, let us come expecting to hear. You know, I hope you guys got something, one little nugget that you can take home to implement or to, you know, share, you know, and pass on and meditate on and chew on. There was a lot here. We could go dive into just one or two of these little things. But, and like I said, this was kind of a half-baked message. Y'all are kind of the first people that I feel like I've got something here that I want to develop and really organize and put, and it might be more for my store, because a lot of stuff I share, fundamental things with people in my store, maybe not even in a real necessarily scripture-based, but there's just some fundamental characteristics of God that ministers to people even in the workplace. They recognize. You know, people have told me, you're different. You're a different Walmart manager. Okay? And I don't know quite what that means, but we're not of this world. We're in the world. We're from somewhere else. So that may be recognizable, you know? And it was like, you know, really, if you look at the story of Joseph, he had the hair shaved off, probably had the Egyptian makeup, but there was a point, you know, when his brothers come at the end, he takes all that junk off. You know, and he's just weeping, and he's real, and he's exposed, and his brothers see him for who he is. You know, that's who he is. You know, under his Egyptian stuff that he does, man, he was a man of God. He had a word, he had a message, and so, you know, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so that gets, you know, I spend so much of my time at Walmart that, you know, it's like I just want to take a shower when I get home, like wash off, you know, the world. You know what I mean? So, and it's not, it's like that. I'm, you know, there's any job you do, I'm sure. But anyways, God is good. God is awesome. So let's close in prayer here. Father, we thank you so much for just being awesome and just loving us and just how much you are excited about spending time with us individually today. And we thank you that you are a loving, loving Father that loves to spend time with us. And we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. So we praise you. We thank you for this word and for your scriptures, for your and for the way you deal with us and love us. And we just pray blessings on this church and this body. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.